This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. And wow, I am so starstruck to have this guest on this show. And it's been a little bit of a work to get it to happen, but I am thrilled to be interviewing today Oscar nominated director of Food Evolution movie, Scott Kennedy. And he's joining us all the way from the West Coast, right, Scott?
That's right.
So exciting. Hello. Hi. Thanks for getting up a little early for us here on the East Coast in Asheville, North Carolina. But this station goes out everywhere, so hopefully when people are listening, they'll also be on the West Coast. So before we want to talk a lot about Food Evolution movie, but we also want to kind of give a nod to who you are and your background and some of your other projects that you've been involved with, because this is not your first rodeo with a documentary, right?
No, this is my fourth. This is my fourth feature documentary.
And is this you were saying before we came on the air that this one is actually nominated for an Oscar. This Food Evolution movie has actually been nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, sorry. No, I got ahead of myself there. So it's the film, and forgive me if we need to start over, but it's the film is called Food Evolution. And the social media is Food Evolution Movie, at Food Evo Movie. And no, it's up for consideration.
Oh, it's up for consideration.
For
Oscar
nominee. Yes, well. Our hat has been thrown into the ring, as it were, with 170 other documentaries to be considered for an Oscar nomination this year.
Okay, well, that's good to clear that up. And folks, if folks have not seen Food Evolution Movie, where can they see it? First of all, we'll get that out of the way. Where can they see it to make sure they learn about the movie?
Sure. We're streaming on quite a few places, streaming and available for download, quite a few places from Hulu, Amazon, YouTube, Google, other places like that. And you can also go to our website, foodevolutionmovie.com, and request a screening. We are close to selling DVDs and having a download directly from there as well. But you can request a screening at your local theater. You can request a screening at a public library or a museum or a university. We'll be building from there.
So I actually got it. I had seen a lot of different clips and trailers for the Food Evolution movie and actually saw it very easily to get on Amazon. And it's a fascinating story to watch. So if people are not familiar with Food Evolution movie, this documentary, how would you describe it in just a few sentences to make people want to watch it?
Yeah, and make people want to watch it. Yes, so I'll do my best. We, on the surface, on first glance, you would think the film is a reset of the conversation around the controversy surrounding GMOs, genetically modified organisms, and a completely scientific, clear-eyed look at what they are, what they're not, who says they're good, who says they're bad. But the more important piece for us and why we made the film and why our esteemed narrator, Neil deGrasse Tyson, signed on to be our narrator is that it's really a story about the importance and difficulty of making good decisions and how are we making good decisions in a time of fake news and alternative facts, not to make this a political statement. How do we come to making good decisions? And the answer is trying to use science and the scientific method. So it's really a defense of the importance of science and a warning of the dangers of not using science in important decision making, from parents to politicians.
You know, and when I watch this, I know, and I totally agree with your description of this documentary, but I also think that it's a really important to add that these are real people stories in this documentary, that you're talking about how decisions that we make, and I know you have there's one gentleman, this farmer in Africa, at the very end of the movie, and it's almost heartbreaking to see, and he starts to actually cry about the decisions we make in the United States and how this is going to affect families and countries in Africa, the decisions we make about food and genetic engineering. So I think that there's a, you know, there is definitely this big science emphasis in this movie about how we make decisions, but there's also this very human and emotional component to this documentary that there were times when I was watching it, I just about started to cry.
Well, thank you so much. Absolutely. And that's an important piece of the warnings of not using science to make good decisions. That the farmer's name is Musi from South Africa. And he is saying directly to the camera, you know, you people in the West, he could have been speaking to Europe as well. He might as well be saying you people with privilege that have so many choices with your food and can easily say, well, I'm just going to go buy organic, or I'm going to scoff at GMOs without data to support either of those decisions, but it's not going to harm you in any way.
Right.
That those decisions you're making could be influencing people to fear GMOs in a food insecure situation like Uganda, that we covered in the film, like a case like Uganda that has a terrible virus with their bananas, and there's a GE fix, but the GE fix can't be used because of political decisions and a lot of fear mongering coming from privileged countries like the United States and Europe.
You know, one of the things that you said earlier, and one of the things I talk a lot about when I talk to groups, is this level of fear mongering that's out there. And I think a lot of that, I mean, I'm a big fan of social media, but I think social media has a big part to play in the level of fear mongering about food and ingredients. And we're coming to the end of this segment, but I know from one thing, when I'm talking to consumers, a lot of times the way I hear from consumers that where they're hearing this scary information is my friend's Facebook page or a person's blog or, so this is getting communicated, all these fears. We're talking with Scott Kennedy. He's an Oscar nominated director, and the movie we're talking about, a documentary, is called Food Evolution Movie. You can find the website foodevolutionmovie.com. Find them on Twitter as Food Evo Movie, at Food Evo Movie. We're going to be talking more about the movie and, you know, what it's all about. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Hour. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian, talking with Scott Kennedy. Scott is an Oscar-nominated director, and he's the director of a documentary called Food Evolution. I have a hard time with that name, Evolution. So it is a very moving account of genetic engineering and the impact of genetic engineering and how people make decisions about genetic engineered crops. And, you know, Scott, as a supermarket dietitian, I get a lot of people asking questions about products that they see in the supermarket. You know, if they see a strawberry that's a weird shape, they think it's genetically engineered. Yeah, if they see something that's a strange color, they think it's genetically engineered. Or
wow.
Yeah, so there's so much fear about that. So I spend a lot of my time writing articles and including information to try and help people understand more about genetic engineering. So what made you want to do this type of documentary? Like, why? I mean, you could have done something about the secret lives of cats. Why did you decide to do something like this?
Well, I think our motives might be very much the same. God forbid you're attempting to try and tell your listeners the truth, right? And your readers the truth. And we looked at this, at the conversation around food, bigger than just the conversation around GMOs. And the conversation is out of balance.
Yes.
It's just out of balance. What is scary? What is healthy? What's a superfood? you know, what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat, what you should feed your kids, what you shouldn't feed your kids, is really out of balance. It's especially out of balance with privileged people that have the choices, and leave out from all these choices that they have or these conversations they have that as a wonderful food historian Rachel Loudon points out, that we have the most abundant, safe, and nutritious food choices available to us in the history of mankind.
Yes.
Doesn't that sound a lot more pleasant than the stuff that you see out there?
Yeah.
You can't trust the companies and what they're feeding you. And I'm not leaving out the fact that greed is a very dangerous thing, and we deal with it in the film, that greed can lead to bad decisions, and we need to have checks and balances. We can't leave out the fact that greed also leads to innovation, and we wouldn't be probably communicating the way that we are, and your listeners wouldn't be hearing it in the multiple of pieces of technology that they can hear your show without the carrot that is innovation and financial success with that innovation. So it's very, very complicated.
It is complicated, is
the thing. And we wanted to kind of peel it back. And as a father myself, I wanted to help, I call it lower the shoulders of parents out there, right? We're on radio, so we can't see my shoulders rising to my ears, but we all know that feeling of like, God, am I making the right decision for my kids? Am I making the right decision for the environment? Am I making the right decisions for my community, and on and on. And it's very hard, and it's a complicated world, but we can sure use science and repeatable science and data and trusted sources to help us determine if the decisions we're making are even in line with our goals, right?
Yes.
So, you know, Mark Linus is a wonderful example in the film of an environmentalist, an activist who was against GMOs, and he flipped to becoming pro-GMOs, really pro-science, because the science told him that. He's no less of an environmentalist. He has no less love of this beautiful and fragile planet, but he knew that his actions weren't in line with his goals of trying to defend this planet.
Yeah. Well, you have some great voices in this documentary, Food Evolution. I mean, you mentioned Rachel Loudon. I know she's not in the film, but I've actually met Rachel in Austin. She's a lovely lady. You've got one of my favorite people we were talking about on break, Carl Haro von Mogel, who's married to a dietitian, and I've met Carl here in Asheville. Pam Ronald, who is married to an organic farmer. I've just heard her speak at our annual food and nutrition conference and expo in Chicago. She did an amazing job. She's a wonderful speaker. Allison Van Eneman, she does a lot of work in animal agriculture, right? But she's also a big spokesperson. She's very active on social media. Mark Linus, the film itself is narrated by Neil deGrasse Tyson, who gave a sold out show here in Asheville. Probably about three or four months ago. So you've got some amazing, strong science voices in support of this documentary, and also kind of really trying to keep people in that space of making your decisions based on facts and not fear. There was just some really great quotes in this movie overall about just having the opportunity to, I think it was Allison said, I wish we could have a discussion about what really concerns people instead of people sort of, I guess the whole conversation was instead of all these fear-based concerns.
Yeah, I think she may have actually said instead of trying to scare the bejesus out of us.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And Allison, yeah, she's an incredible science communicator. She's taught me. I've learned so much from her, so I learned so much from so many of the scientists in the film, not just about the specific data of GMOs, but about the science of science communication, which is really, you know, a huge subtext for the film. And there's so many different slogans and sayings that we can bring up, you know, facts don't persuade.
Right.
Right. So you can't lead with the science.
Right.
And Allison knows that and is frustrated by it because as a scientist, it's sort of a double edge. It's like,
sure.
Why do I have to convince you? I just worked for 2, 5, 10 years, 20 years to get the science correct on this. And the science should be the thing that's convincing you. But no, I also have to communicate it. And that's just, understanding human nature. We can rail against it and say, why don't facts persuade more? Or we can embrace the fact that we as human beings make decisions from a variety of ways, as the wonderful journalist Tamara Haspel talks about in the film, that, you know, we make decisions based on our gut and affiliation and social media. Right. She doesn't say that in the film, but all these different ways that we make decisions, and going, forgive me for continuing to quote books and other sources, but, you know, Thinking Fast and Slow is a wonderful book about how we make decisions, and was a big influence on the film. And type one thinking is fight or flight, and has served us very well when we look at our evolution as human beings. But type two is where you dig in much more deeply, and you consider things with patience, and you consider things with the scientific method. And, you know, we as consumers and as citizens of this planet have to remember that we need to use type two to distinguish between real news and fake news, and not just rely on, you know, that Facebook is going to figure out a way to keep the Russians from giving us fake news. We have to be responsible as well.
Stay tuned.
And say, how do I determine?
Stay tuned to the Ingalls Information Hour. We're talking with Scott Kennedy about food evolution. Welcome back to the Ingalls Information Hour. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingalls dietitian. Today we're talking about food evolution. It's a documentary all about the conversation around food, and specifically around genetically engineered crops. On the phone joining me all the way from the West Coast is Scott Kennedy. He's the director of the film, and he's an Oscar-nominated director. And we've been talking about some of the what the documentary was like. You can find it on Hulu, Amazon. You can actually request a screening of the film. If you go to the website foodevolutionmovie.com, you can see if the movie is being screened at a location near you. And I was telling Scott, I do have a couple of questions that came in through Twitter. Kim Bremer, who's one of a dietitian that I know, asked, what surprised you most about making the film?
Great question. I'd say I was introduced to the term confirmation bias in the course of making this film. Your savvy listeners probably have known it for a long time, but I'll give the quick definition. So as a scientist, confirmation bias is where you have a hypothesis, and you only see evidence that supports the hypothesis, your conclusion, right? That's not science. You have to go through the process, and the results will tell you what you should be looking at and shouldn't be looking at. So we all suffer from confirmation bias. We only see things that support our political worldviews. We only see things that support our musical tastes, right?
Right, sure.
That we want to say that, you know, I have amazing taste in music. Look at how great my music is. So we have extreme confirmation bias around issues like GMOs and what we feed our children. I just didn't realize how tough it is, and confirmation bias is just so tough that how do we check it, and the way that we check it. So if confirmation bias is a poison, the anecdote is to the cure is science, and the patience of using the scientific method to ask yourself, you know, think twice again, to say how am I making these decisions, and what is the information underneath this? Is it valid? Is it not? So check your confirmation bias is probably the biggest thing that I learned.
You know, Scott, like what I have found is that when there are people who come to me with questions and concerns, I think if they're coming to somebody with a question and concern, that's a good first step, because that shows that they maybe are willing to listen. But then we've got a whole other group of people who are, they're just so entrenched in this thinking that you can't move them in any way. And that's to me the kind of the most frustrating and hardest thing to deal with. And that brings up one of the other questions David Bertioli asked. With so much information available from reliable sources, should opposition to GMOs be considered merely superstition? How would you answer that?
Yeah, I think while his point is valid, that we would qualify that as quote unquote a failure of science, the science of science communication, right? So that he could write a paper supporting that that it should be seen as superstition, but that doesn't mean that that's going to get anybody to change their mind.
Sure.
That's just going to make people feel that you're pointing a finger at them and calling them stupid, and that's,
right.
that's very dangerous. So so while he has a valid point that people are making decisions not based on good information, how do we get them to think about how they got that information in the first place? What goals do they have? You know, because we have so many similar goals in these things. You know, you brought up we've talked about people in the film like Zen Honeycutt, an activist, an anti-GM activist, who says, you know, drastically horrible things like, you know, I trust my friends on social media more than than the FDA, the USDA, on and on.
Yeah.
And how, so how do, but I agree with Zen that I want to feed my kids safe and hopefully sustainable food. So how do we, how does she get getting bad information like that? And how am I hoping to try and get better information? And you really have to be patient in how you're getting information and patient with communicating with somebody that they just might not be getting good information, and to just ask them to go and check it, you know,
right.
Just look at how did you come to these conclusions?
Yeah, that's a great point. So we have a couple minutes left. So, you know, and this is my question, Scott. So, you know, you've been deep in the thick of things with this documentary, Food Evolution. And again, if people want to find the movie, go to foodevolutionmovie.com. It's at Food Evo Movie on Twitter, and you can find the Facebook page as well. Would you ever consider doing a sequel to this? I know that I jokingly said Food Evolution, the New Testament, but could you see something like that, doing something like a part two of this?
Well, based on your title alone, it's almost an I should literally build a film around that great title. It's a really good title. I don't know if there will be a Food Evolution 2. I'm percolating and doing a great deal of research on a series that I'm currently calling Natural, that would look at the naturalistic fallacy and on a many, many levels in our food and
right.
how mothers think they're supposed to give birth and like things like that. So, but I'm also talking to some people about a possible food evolution series that would look deeper into these issues around food and how we make decisions. So to be seen, if any of your listeners have buckets of money that they'd like to throw
sure.
at a project like that, please get in touch. I'm easy to find. So that's to be seen. But has the process of going through this film inspired me to make films that defend science and look at misinformation, for sure.
Yeah.
And I could find some of those themes in previous films as well. But I, as Allison says, you know, I'm a born again scientist now.
And that could be
true. And at the same time, I want to check myself and check my confirmation bias that I don't think, you know, science is infallible, and obviously it isn't. That's the whole point of the process, that it checks itself and checks itself again. So to be seen what happens next.
Ah, exciting. Well, we know for sure that you probably won't go to making a documentary about the secret life of cats. So I think you've got some interesting things on the drawing board in any case. I would strongly recommend this movie. Like, if you're listening out there and you just want to learn more about the process behind genetically engineered crops and you want to just be exposed to some different points of view, just go take a look at the website, take a look at the trailer. Again, it's foodevolutionmovie.com. And Scott Kennedy, director, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to us and share your perspective about this film and what it's meant to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.